The scripture reading today is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It's a wonderful thing to be reminded that the Holy Spirit is with us. And so I wonder if you'd pray for me and with me as we move into this time of preaching. Lord God, we thank you for your presence in times of worship. There's something so honoring when we set that time aside for you. And we give it our whole selves. We put everything away. We put away our phones and our devices and whether we're online or whether we're in the sanctuary, we set everything aside to simply enter into a time where we give you our thanks. And it's so honoring that you also set that time aside for us, that you love us enough to meet us in that space, and there are these sacred moments in music and in prayer and in sacraments and in all the aspects of worship when you meet us. And so I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight at this time, and that when we leave this place, we would have a sense that even the sermon spoke to us this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 2 Timothy. Margaret just read a portion of 2 Timothy to you. 2 Timothy, a letter written by Paul while in prison to the young Timothy. That's how it's traditionally attributed. There is some question whether Paul's the author or not. But we'll use that language today. The letter consists mainly of advice to this younger colleague, Timothy, regarding his ministry in Ephesus. Ephesus is a large city in modern-day Turkey, Izmir. It, at the time the letter was written, would have been an intimidating assignment for a young pastor. Ephesus was, at that time, a thriving port city, a crossroads of commerce and culture. Ephesus was a sprawling place with homes in the town and lush villas on the hillside. It had a major library. It had a large marketplace. It had a Roman theater. It had every accoutrement of success that the Roman Empire had to offer. The Romans had taken veterans from their army and retired them to Ephesus and actually had a community there for them. Rome liked to spread out the veterans. It had various Greek and Roman gods. The greatest of these was the Temple of Artemis, which was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And in the middle of all that, they plopped down young Timothy. Timothy's job is to maintain and build the church that Paul had started there. And frankly, if you're not intimidated by that job, you can do anything. Because who wants to follow the Apostle Paul? Have you read what he actually wrote in the New Testament? I mean, you read the use of language, the connectivity to the Hebrew Bible. It's remarkable. You're going to follow Paul, they said. Timothy lives in a city where there is a factory that makes statues to the goddess Artemis, who is a fertility goddess. Some called it the Temple of Diana. Artemis, they made these statues, and they actually had factories that produced these things. And they're pretty strange looking, to be honest. And they exported these all around the Mediterranean world, because who doesn't want a goddess of fertility, if you're growing crops, if you want to have children? Everybody wanted this, we would say idol, they would say goddess. And in the middle of all that, Timothy is supposed to say, that's an idol, and it actually has no power whatsoever, and the person that you want to meet who does have power is a man whose name is Jesus of Nazareth, who is the Son of God, who is both Lord and Savior. And when Timothy does that, he's not just attacking their religion, he's attacking how they make their living. He's attacking how they put bread on their tables. That's a tough assignment. That is a tough assignment. And Paul, sitting in the prison cell, receiving correspondence back and forth from Timothy, has picked up on the fact that Timothy is becoming timid. The once steady faith that Timothy held is struggling. You can't do the work if you're timid. When you think about it, what can you do if you're timid? What work can you do if you're timid? Now, I'm not talking about being shy. I'm not talking about being introverted. Shy and introverted people run the world. It's just that extroverts don't notice. That I'm not talking, like, if you're someone who's shy or introverted and you're like, well, Tom's saying it's bad for me to be, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not talking about being shy. I'm talking about being timid. Some of the most confident people I know are introverted and even shy. They're just out there doing the stuff that nobody notices that makes the world run right. This is different. I'm talking about being timid. I'm talking about the moment when a person lacks courage. Talk to one of these veterans today. Being in the U.S. military, many of them being on fields of battle, theaters of war, timid is the enemy. Why? Because when we are timid, we can't do our best work. I mean, have you ever been timid? Have you ever been timid at work? And somebody comes to you and they say, hey, we got this new assignment, and it's over here, and you need to do this, it's going to be like that. And the thing you're thinking is, there is no way I should be doing that. Sometimes they call it imposter syndrome. You know that phrase? Imposter syndrome is when you've got this great track record of success, but you don't even know how it happened yourself. And when you look at the thing, the challenge that's before you, you're just thinking, if they knew what I knew, they would never ask me to do that. You ever had that? Gets in the way of your work, doesn't it? Ask the teacher that's got to face down a classroom of fifth graders what it's like to go in and think, I'm the teacher that can help these people learn. We can be timid at home, knowing that we should talk to the friend. We know that we're the friend that should talk to this friend to say the thing that needs to be said, and yet we're just feeling a little, what's the word? Timid. Or we're seeing a child who's having a hard time. But nobody's talking about it. Everybody's walking around it. We're talking to each other, but we're never going here and having the family conversation that simply must be had because we're just feeling timid. Timid gets in the way everywhere it goes. You can be timid in faith. Timid in faith. Have you ever had the moment where somebody comes to you and says, yeah, I'm having this hard time, and the doctor said, and it's going to be months of treatments, and I'm worried, and I don't know how it's going to go. And you're thinking to yourself, somebody ought to pray for her. Just you and her. Somebody said, wow. Wow. And you could be the person to say, hey, as you know, I'm a Christian, I'm a person of faith. Would you mind if I would pray for you? But we sometimes don't say the prayer. We don't even offer the prayer. We don't even say, I'm going to pray for you on my own. We don't do it because we're feeling, you see? And not just in that way. Sometimes we're timid about the things the Bible says God would do in our own lives. I mean, Scripture is very clear. You want to forgive somebody? The power of Christ's resurrection, of the new life that comes to us in Christ, gives us the power to forgive people and have new life in a relationship or new life on our own without the relationship, depending. The power of the faith, the power to reconcile, the power to have the strength that you absolutely have to have for this moment because it's the required virtue for right now. And the Scripture says, through the power of Jesus Christ, you can have that strength and that power. And we look at it and say, I just don't think I can. What's the word? Timid. We're just timid. If you can remember when you're feeling timid, when you're hesitant to start the necessary conversation or offer the prayer or do the thing that you need to do but are not sure you can do, there is something that you simply must do in that moment. You must remember that God is with you. Timid is all brake and no accelerator. And this is why Paul is so concerned about Timothy. Paul knows that people never do their best work when they're in a space of fear. Fear has this remarkable ability to keep us from taking the next faithful step, which is all God's asking you to do. God's not saying, I need you to run over there. God's saying, I need you to go from here to here. Just take the next faithful step. This is our dog, Mudge. I know. Best part of our family, honestly, nicer than all the rest of us put together. Do you see him on that island? That's an island. Do you see what's around him? The swirly, stormy waters of luxury vinyl tile. That is an 85, that's about an 80-pound dog right now, about an 80-pound dog. That if it smells a fox in the woods and is on a leash, will absolutely try to break the leash and go through the underbrush so that it can get the fox. It doesn't even know what it's going to do when it gets there. That's a dog that if you're walking down the street and there's another dog walking across the street, it's same size or larger, that even looks at it funny, will snarl at it. Not all of them because it's a very nice dog. But sometimes, it's wild. I never know which ones are going to get it. But some dogs, there's something the other dog does, and that dog will look at it and go, like bring it right over here. I don't get that. How that same dog, next picture, please. Daily occurrence. Wait, what's our word? On the luxury vinyl tile, this new tile in your parsonage, this is the inside of your home, in this new tile, and that dog, when it goes from carpet runner to carpet runner, we've had to build little bridges. It's crazy. Let me ask you something. Take a look at that. Have you ever felt like that? Ever felt like that? And other people around you going, why can't you take the next faithful step? Like, what's going on? Other people don't understand it because they, in that moment, they believe in you more than you believe in you. Amen? Timid always gets in the way, always holds you back, always keeps you in a space when you could be having a grand adventure in another space. Paul gives Timothy this reminder. Would you read this with me? For the Spirit God gave us does not make us... Okay, now look, if we're going to read this, let's pick it up a bit. I need you to bring it, okay? So, for the Spirit that God gave us does not make us timid. What? Stop a second. The people at home, we know what you're doing. We know what you're doing. You're like looking at a phone. You're like phased out. No. You're with, especially those of you who are with us right now, I need you to zero in and I need you to say it with us because I need you to remember this week. That's why we do that. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power. Come on, let's say it with me. Power, love, and self-discipline. And Paul's saying to Timothy, hey, Timothy, if you're going to do the stuff that God wants you to do, you've got to become grateful for the gift of your salvation. Paul reminds Timothy, you're not alone because God is with you. God loves you. God is surrounding you. And that recognition that God is with us, giving us a spirit of power and love and self-discipline, that reminder is what gets us off the islands that we're so committed to out into the adventure that God's taking us to. It allows us to do the difficult things in life. It allows us to be used by the Holy Spirit. And it's really something. Because when you're in the space that's the hardest space, the space where you're like, there's no way I can do this thing that God's asking me to do. And you've got, I'm hoping that many of you right now are thinking of that thing that's in your life that God is asking you to do, and you're like, I don't think I can do it, Tom. And what I'm saying is, the first thing you need to remember if you want to get over being timid is to remember this. You are deeply loved. I was elected a bishop in the United Methodist Church. They gave me this pin. That's all I got right now. That's it. That's literally all I've got. I'm not doing the work. I'm in this bittersweet in-between space. And my goodness, the love and kindness has been being poured out in my life. It's just remarkable. The kind words that you have said to me in person, your presence, the cards, the emails. I mean, just, it has absolutely outstripped my capacity to keep up right now. I've always thought that it'd be better if we held funerals about 2 weeks before people died. I've always thought that. Funerals are wasted on the living. I mean, it's great for those of us who are left to come celebrate the person who is now departed, who has died. But wouldn't it be better to do it with a person in the room, alive, hearing? And I feel like I'm getting to attend my own, shall we say, celebration of life. And I'll tell you something. When you're afraid of something you're going to do and you're feeling timid about the space that God's leading you to, if you are utterly convinced that you are loved, it creates courage. And I'm grateful for my salvation because I am experiencing the kindness of others is a means of God's grace speaking to me. And it tells you that the voices that you hear that say you are not enough, you are not smart enough, you are not quick enough, you're never going to figure this out, it's too big for you, you can't say those words, you're not the right person, you're not the person who can, you can't solve that family issue and actually have the conversation. I mean, when you feel God's love, suddenly you think, God may work through even me. Even me. And that gives you a sense of God's power, God's love, which then gives us self-discipline. Because all of you know, if you're going to lead in your home, if you're going to lead at work, if you're going to lead in a classroom, if you're going to lead anywhere, the leadership has to start with their own self-leadership. What I want you to know, what I want you to know is that there is a God who absolutely loves you that way, who absolutely thinks about you right now, who absolutely is delighted by your presence, overjoyed at your company, impressed by how you're using your life for good, willing to help you do the things that the Lord's asked you to do. If I could convince you of God's love, timidity would go away. And you would gain a spirit of power and love, because you, when we are convinced that we love others, you know what becomes so easy? Listen, past couple weeks, I have been incredibly nice to be around. I mean, seriously, I don't mean to brag, but I am pretty awesome right now. You know why? Because when people are giving you acts of kindness and acts of love, you look with eyes of love and grace everywhere you go. Amen? It's just not that hard to see how good you have it when you know you're loved. And what I want you to say is, God loves you the way God loves me, with grace and tenderness and fondness. And if you can remember that when you're feeling timid, you'll have power to start the necessary conversation or to offer the prayer or do the good thing that God's asking you to do. And it will overcome the fear and the negative voices, because if you are convinced that you are loved, you'll be convinced that you can accept and do the thing that is right there before you. And you'll have power because you know the Lord will work through you. Hey, aren't you grateful? Aren't you grateful for your salvation? Did you notice that the song the band sang right before the scripture was read, did you notice nobody applauded? And the lack of applause wasn't a lack of appreciation. No, it was the opposite. The lack of applause was your way of saying to the band, you've just taken us into such a sacred moment that I've been reminded that the Holy Spirit's with me. It was just so powerful to remember that we're loved. Now, if you've got that, it only affects you in this life, it affects you for the life to come. I mean, yes, there's Timothy, and Paul says to Timothy, rather join me, Timothy, in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, he says in verse 8, who saved us and who called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Then he says this grace was given us in, everybody say it, this grace was given to us in, and listen, it's really important to remember that, because the more Christ is central in our lives, the more power we will experience. It's been revealed to us through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus. This is his pointing to the resurrection. I've been working on this book on the resurrection for 100 years. And it's really shifting how I read the New Testament now, because I see the early church talking about the resurrection everywhere I turn now. Who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the good news, through the gospel. And Paul's saying, Timothy, that's what you get to do. You get to tell other people about God's love, God's light, their immortality, that there's no more fear of death. And you see, the timidity we have in life is connected to an existential fear, and it's the fear of death, which reigns over us until we allow Christ to break that fear. I remember talking to a woman one time. She said, you know, I just feel like I'm not even sure when my father dies, what the funeral, you know, buried, cremated, I don't know anything. And I said, well, why don't you talk to your father? I got a brilliant idea. Why don't you talk to your father about that? Tell him how you're feeling. Tell him it would really help you if you could just have this conversation. That can be a deep conversation. She said, oh, he's not ready for that. He wouldn't like that. I said, really? She said, no, he's just not ready for that. And I said, you know your dad's in his 90s, right? I said, seriously, we need to look at this number. I said, he's getting up there in the years, as they say. If he's not ready now, when do you think he's going to be ready? Can I ask you something? Who's not ready? Who's not ready to talk about dad's death? Who's not ready? She's not ready. That existential fear of death makes us timid in ways we don't even understand. And trust me, if you are timid about death, you're timid about life. And so what Paul says to Timothy is, notice this, Timothy, it has been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, meaning the emergence of Christ from the empty tomb, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He gets to give the gospel. Friends, if Jesus Christ can destroy the power of death, your conversation with your child, which is so hard, I'm a parent too, I get it. Doesn't matter if they're young or whether they're adults, the conversations can be hard, amen? The conversations in marriage can be really hard, amen? The conversations at work can be super hard. It's all hard. It's nothing compared to the God who destroys the power of death and gives us eternal life. Once that's done, it's all done. And so what I want to encourage you today, and I don't know if I've got this last text. The last text, can you put that up there? Paul says to Timothy, guard the good treasure that's entrusted to you. With the help of the Holy Spirit living with us. Just put your hands out like this for a moment. Just at home too. Just, you know. You have this treasure. Paul said you had this treasure in earthen vessels, meaning we know we're flawed, we know we're cracked, we know we got problems. Amen. You got problems. But you have this treasure. The treasure is the deep love of God for you. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you. Hey, best thing you ever do is to share your treasure with somebody else who doesn't know God's with them. And I just walk up and I give a little of my treasure, and the treasure replenishes itself. I can never give it away. It just keeps coming back. Guard the treasure, because if you guard the treasure, you'll never be timid. You'll be fearless. You'll be full of courage. And then you will have a life that is a life, because God will be working through you no matter where you go. Amen? Amen? Amen. And amen.